So we're here in the E&D model shop with Vince. And Vince, tell me what you do here.
What we do primarily here is we support the industrial design or the user experience group in hardware, but more importantly now across E&D. An area of interest is actually how design starts developing special edition colors or even start thinking about what the trends are in the marketplace. With that said, we have actually a nice paint room that we are able to experiment with colors and finishes. Mm-hmm. And today I'll go ahead and talk about one of our products that we have out in the market right now, and I can kind of run you through what our involvement
is. We've got a fairly familiar new mouse here, and it's in several stages of design, it looks like. So show us what we got here.
So the first process when the designer would start thinking about colors for the following year, he or she would bring down color chips, color samples, magazine cutouts to start experimenting with colors. And so what you see here, these are actually parts that are existing and we've painted over them to show mm-hmm. what the finish can be. You can see gloss, you can see texture there, there's pearl additives, there's metallic additives. Once we get to this point and it's a desired finish and color, we then apply it to, these are all castings of the final product.
And do you make those here, or you have those outsourced?
We do both. We make some in here, and we actually outsource some. Mm-hmm. And we call these Lego block models.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because you can actually take them apart like a Lego, and they all fit together quite nicely. And the reason why we do this is now the designer can mix and match if they want it to.
Yeah.
And this is magnetic, so it gets all put together, and so when you're done, you're able to display what the desired color material finish is of a product.
So you have a non-working mouse that someone can feel and get an idea of what that mouse is going to feel like.
And look like.
And look, yeah.
And look like. So here is another example. We started looking at orange. We wanted to look at orange and white. So there, it gives the designer greater flexibility in really having their design become reality.
Yeah.
As well as it pulls in, they get this, they pull in the marketing team, and they're able to evaluate three-dimensional products instead of rendering that's two-dimensional.
Yeah.
So this really helps.
How long does it take to get to that step?
From casting to finished painting, we have about a two-week time frame, mm-hmm. and then there's usually a week of design review, color review, and then we would do another iteration. So we would take this and strip it down if we need to, and then apply new colors, and then they would have another review. So really the process of locking down our color material finish is usually a 4 to 6 week time. Mm-hmm. For each development program.
Very cool. And tell me about the blue one that you have up there. It looks like a real functioning mouse. Is that also a model?
It is a model. And what we still do today is we will make what we call an appearance model. Mm-hmm. It looks, what we say is, we usually say it looks better than a production product.
Yeah.
But we use that for a packaging. And so all the boxes that you see out there, all the packaging, are actually models instead of real products.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is the timeline that it takes to develop the artwork is so far in advance before any of the parts are even
made.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome.
Correct.
And I recognize the camera there too. Wow.
So this is our newest camera, Cinema. And we did not have a strong design involvement from the beginning. The designer that started looking at his concept really worked with an outside firm, and mm-hmm. they were able to develop some really high-end design in the beginning, so we had little involvement. Where I would say we had more involvement with the design or with the development team is actually creating fixtures to allow them to start doing their test.
Yeah.
As we had not done HD before.
Mm-hmm.
And so here you can see the internal components of Cinema, And what the engineer wanted to do was do multiple tests on the camera itself. The body, the housing was not ready, so they needed a way to hold it consistently.
Yeah.
When the housing was all completed, they now needed another fixture to consistently hold the different units as they would do their image, and I believe it was both their image and their audio testing. And so here you can see that the products would just slide out, and then they take another unit and pop it in, and they would do consistent testing. That way the variables are removed. So what we're able to do is actually find solutions. The engineer would come back, will come down and literally say, I have this product, I need to hold it like this consistently. Can you design something and build something for us? And that's where we actually come in and help them out.
That sounds like a fun job.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. The different tubes that you have here.
Okay.
You built those as well?
Yeah, these tubes here, the audio engineer wanted to understand what the impact is of the opening of a microphone.
Wow, it's that different that they want to test all of those.
Yes, and as you go through the different labs, you'll see actually the chamber of where they would test this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does make a difference in the opening. And this is what we ended up with.
Is this a working model?
This is actually not a working model. This, again, is an appearance model.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, there's no components in there. But when you put it all together, it looks as good as a production unit.
Wow.
And this, again, this is what we use to photograph for our packaging and for our environment shots.
Very cool.
I think that's what I have here on display on the table.
And you have some rooms here. You can show us
give us
a little tour?
Multiple rooms. Sure, I certainly will.
Awesome.
Why don't we start over on this end,
okay,
and we'll work down.
All right. And so there's normally very secret things in here. I notice you keep the door locked. Not anyone with a badge can come in.
Right. I control the access in here, and so we have two levels of access. One is for weekdays. And then there's another level of access, which is a 24/7, and that's really only for about a dozen people, yeah, that access that.
And I hope you've scrubbed this clean for us today.
So we did.
We won't see anything.
Yes.
No crazy things today.
So we're just starting to set this up, and across E&D, the device teams are very excited. The development design teams are very excited because I've started a process of creating a CMF, color material finish library, and trying to consolidate what Xbox, Zune, mobile, hardware, what are we doing, what are we trying to be cohesive about. So I started to do a collection of just different samples and trend books. This company, Piclaris Futures book, is a very futuristic looking outward-looking book, and it's been used quite a bit by the design team now, such that if you understand research, this company has done great research where they not only talk about what the future is, but also what the materials and the finishes are. And
wow.
So the designers use this quite a bit for inspiration.
Yeah.
Looking 1, 2, 3 years out. We also have samples. Here's an interesting box that we've started to accumulate sustainable materials.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to use sustainable materials in our products.
Yeah.
How is that going to work? And so we not only look at what the consumer wants, but what is good and right for, mm-hmm, for the world that we live in. So I've collected this. The designer then can come in and look at this and say, wow, this will really work for me. And from there, we can get documentation and bring the materials in to start testing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I met you when I did an interview on the Arc Mouse.
Yes.
Recently, and this is a new facility. This is a new building.
It's quite new, and I'm totally excited about it because It's twice the size as where we were at before.
Yeah.
It's given us more space to do work like this, mm-hmm. which it actually focuses across E&D and, to be honest, across Microsoft. We also have a secured room. We call it an ideation room, and it's where we can sit down with our different design clients and customers to be able to talk openly about parts or products or projects that they want to get worked on.
Nice. Great.
All right. So shall we continue?
Let's go.
All right.
Wow. That's cool.
Okay. So I'm going to put this on. So this is a great place right now that we have here. It's called Rapid Prototyping Room. And the reason why I'm excited about this room really is because it's clean.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to figure out why does it need to be clean, this equipment right here, this is state-of-the-art equipment. It's a 3D printer. It actually uses the inkjet technology, but instead of injecting ink, it actually injects resin. Okay, right now I'm not sure that it's. Let's see. So, unfortunately, it's not running now. But here you can see just multiple examples of what comes out of the 3D printer. We can get real fine details if you look in there. This is actually one of the model makers. He designed a house, but the layer that it builds is 1/4 the thickness of your hair.
Wow,
that's how accurate the parts are. And so we use it both for testing mechanical parts and mechanical fixtures to really just a solid. This is just a solid piece of a surface. That the designer wanted to just get a feel for.
Yeah, just get an idea of what that mouse is going to be like.
Instead of machining it. So,
how long does it take to get something like that?
So this, from our process, pre-process to running it on the machine, this part alone will probably be a 3 to 4 hour run. Probably
wow.
A 4 hour run. So it's quite fast.
Mm-hmm.
We've had parts where we would make it in the morning for an afternoon meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a lifesaver for all of us, actually.
Nice.
And we use it for different functions. Here we made a tool to actually cast silicone.
Wow.
And before we were using this, we would have had to machine that.
Yeah.
And it would have been a real-time consuming project.
Very cool.
This is actually where what mentioned before about a place where we can have secure meetings. This is our ideation room, and in fact, I just used this morning with one of the design teams because it couldn't be shown in public,
yeah.
And even with other people. So it was behind closed doors, which was really really nice to have.
Yeah.
The next room that I'll show you. This is our cutting room. This is our dust room. This is where I think a lot of people like to use because it has a table saw, bandsaw, sanders, and you know, of course, everybody's
yeah, it's your traditional
wish
room.
They have that in their own garage.
Yeah.
So we have this here. We have a material storage. We actually store multiple materials, and it gets used quite a bit, from wood to metal, to screens, to even foam.
So what kinds of things do they build in here?
Well, like right now,
it seems like these tools are a little bit rough to make small devices like a mouse prototype.
It is. This is actually where we would start with raw material,
mm-hmm.
and start cutting it out to the size of a mice. And I'll show you the next room, which is the industrial design room, and you can see how they would take then that form of the soft urethane foam. Blocks,
yeah.
And actually start sculpting that away.
Cool.
So you can see that. What else? The other thing we do here is, it's still rough, but when we're doing fixtures, we're actually able to do it quite easily with a table saw. Right here, they wanted to set a product at three different angles.
Yeah.
And so we just quickly built this fixture for them.
Very cool.
So before we go further, actually, one thing I really wanted to show was the space that my team has, as well as where they sit at and where they do a lot of their bench work. Mm-hmm. When we were at the old place, we were sitting side by side so that our chairs were actually back to back of each other. That's how small of a space we have. And so now we have such a large space, and it helps us be more, I think, more collaborative, but also be able to just function.
Yeah. Steelcase Leap, my favorite chair. The chair of designers.
Okay, not quite clean, but you can see what happens. This is the industrial design room. It's still being set up. The interesting thing that I wanted to show was this is called a downdraft table, and it's where the designer can actually put their part here and start sculpting away. In fact, well, here you can see this is a casting of the mice that I was showing you, the notebook mice, and you can see some of the side features there. What we do here, what the designers do here, is they're able to take foam parts like this and really create some refined sculpting, if you will, of what a product is to become. And this is used for across the Indy as well. So we have two more rooms that I'd like to show. Here's another room. This is our paint room. It used to be a booth. Now it's actually a real paint room.
Nice.
It's double the size as far as the capacity. And we're able to set up two people here. We have an air gun here and an air gun there, and we're able to paint if we need to with both people, two different colors, etc. So this was probably the last area that was approved to use. We had to wait for the fire marshal to approve it, and we had certain areas that we needed to rework in order to comply with code. But this is probably one of the safest places to be if anything happens.
Yeah.
Just because of the safety features that they've placed here.
Yeah.
And I guess what I can show you is that you can see how we've created our own colors.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a small offering, and I'll open that cabinet, and you can see how much paint how much colors we develop, custom colors we develop. So if you go in there, you can see a sampling of really the different colors and paint that we've done over the years, and we keep them as archives so we know when a color is to be resurrected. We at least have that formula in here, and we're able to then remake the colors.
Nice. So all the devices, all the Microsoft devices that we remember from the past, or at least the most recent ones, are right there in those cans.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. And so the one area, the one group that we're starting to bring our archive system into is Xbox and Zoom.
Yeah.
And so at some point we'll have all their colors here as well.
Nice.
For duplication. Yep.
Right.
So the last room that I'll show you is the machine shop. This is a traditional machine shop. We have a CNC here, a computer numerical control machine. And in machining terms, this is what they call a subtractive method. So we start out with a block, and the router or the cutter bit in there would start removing material.
What materials do you use in here?
We use ABS. This material that we see right now is actually, urethane foam modeling board.
Yeah.
And so it's a high density. I think this is like a 40 pound per square foot, I think, is what they is what they rate it at. So you can see some, here's some examples.
And that's an old, old Xbox controller.
Yes, this is the original small form Xbox controller.
Nice.
We were running this because we needed to put a small product out in the market.
Yeah.
And so as the Surface was completed, we were already machining it.
Yeah.
Just so that we can...
So this is the S controller.
Yes.
It's like, feel
yes.
it.
Yes. We machine aluminum as well. Very seldom do we do that because our machine, we try to set it up more for foam, and we don't want to use coolant or cutting fluid in there.
Yeah.
And here's another one. So we have a nice varied capability in the model shop, which is nice because we are able then to use whatever is most efficient for the request or for the program.
So what do you do with the old models, like the old S controller mock-up? Do the original models get, do they end up in people's offices, or do they go to the archive? Or
some will go to the archive, some will get thrown away. Mm-hmm. We try to keep as much of the samples as possible because for us it's the blood and sweat and tears that we have on that. And so we try to keep, the photo models, the appearance models, the study models, we'll keep a lot of that here. And it's also great when we do press tours that we have something to show.
Yeah.
And so it's been very helpful. And then the remainder of the shop, they're just a traditional machine shop. We have a lathe. We have a couple of vertical mills. And again, the expanse is really nice because
it's much more room than you had before.
Keeps people separated. The one thing that I have to say that people have been envious of is we're the only ones with the epoxy painted floor.
Yeah.
So, with the equipment that we have here, it really gives us broad capability to do a lot of efficient and actually even difficult to accomplish work that's outside, because for us, what we bring to E&D is the fact that we can sit down with the engineer or the designer and work through the whole process and problem and come up with a solution instead of outsourcing it and not knowing what you're going to get back. Here it's real time.
So outsourcing probably takes a lot longer.
It takes a lot longer, and what you send out...
Pardon me.
Yeah. What you send out may not be what you really want it, because it hasn't been proven out. Whereas here, we're so integrated with the different design teams, and we've so ingrained ourselves with what is needed that we can actually call and say, hey, there's a problem here, and the designer or engineer would be here, right away, and we can work through whatever needs to get solved.
So. Awesome, very cool. Well, thanks for showing us the space. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.